That's what we need to do. Not just one of us, all of us. And united we stand. This has been an incredible show. But we got to go. Thank you, Heather.
Thank you, Sherry.
Get in touch with Heather about getting a copy of this. Look on Nutrasounds.com. She'll get a link for you. You can get in classes by going to Nutrasounds.com or writing to Heather at VocalProfiling.com. The demo classes are free. Please join us. We can change the world.
Okay, we are now live on the Internet. This is the Winfrey Higher Vision Conference Line. It's really the Higher Vision Conference Line. I stuck my name on it because more people heard of my name than Higher Vision. But when Higher Vision gets famous enough, I'm going to take my name off. So that's why it's called the Winfrey Line. But this line is actually the creation of a number of people, not just me. And it's a co-creative effort. And as you'll find out, you who are listening, this is not a us and a you. This is just a us. And that you're part of the co-creation of the energy of this line as it goes on. So my name is Wynn. Would you like to say your name and your city? And if you're new... Who is that?
Oh, Ondine in California?
Ondine. Hi, Ondine.
Hi.
Nice to have you. And this is the night we're simulcast on the Internet. So we're on the phone as well as being on the Internet. And somebody else just came on. Would you like to say your name and your city? I heard you. This is your chance to be famous. Or to be shy. Sometimes new people come on and they're kind of like listening in. And it's okay if you're new and just listen. We hope that even though you're not joining in the physical, you can still join in the spiritual. Anyone else on the line that hasn't said their name and number or their name in their city? Okay. Are we still on VBS radio? Anyone have their computer on and have it in the background? Wayne?
No, don't. That's all right.
Can you hear me on VBS? Or it's not on?
Yes, Wayne, I can hear you on VBS.
Okay, great. Just want to check this. Last week, we had a great session. And it didn't get on. Somehow we were disconnected. This week, they have the direct number of the conference line. So if for some reason we go off, Seth should be able to call up and hook it back up again. So those of you who were on here last week, I apologize if you were looking for us and didn't find us. There was some kind of technical glitch, and we did do the call, but it wasn't on VBS radio. So I'm going to mute everybody now.
All callers are muted.
And I started out with an interesting idea, and that was that this is not my call. This is a co-creative energy that everyone that calls and everyone that listens is part of that energy. And there's no... I guess I'm kind of the guy that threw the rock into the pond and created the waves, but then the waves keep going. And what does it mean to have co-creative energy? This is an energy which is kind of contrary to the way things normally are in third dimension, because in third dimension, in the status quo for many relationships is that one person has power over another, or quite a few others. And so whenever people are in the same environment, there's a pecking order to there's an attempt at establishing a pecking order so people can see who has the power. And then, of course, the person that has the power, other people defer to and give their energy to. And this happens even in personal relationships and love relationships and family relationships and work relationships. There's the tendency to vie for power. Now, in a co-creative relationship, the need for power is dispensed with. And I guess that has to stem from me, because as the founder of this and as the inspirer of it and as the visionary of it, yes, I have a certain power, but it's not a power that I am attached to. It's not a power that I hold over other people. I use the power to set the stage for other people to have their own power. So what happens is people come to the occasion and say, hey, I want to do this, and I want to do this in this way. And as long as I read that their intent is pure, then I say yes, because you can't have enough circumstances of pure intent radiating out onto this planet. So what started out as just a small little idea of doing a conference call once a week on Mondays has now turned into 7 nights of conference calls, plus an introductory call, plus a Law of One workshop, plus a discussion group on the previous channeling that was read, and what we call grid healings. So what we've done is we started out learning, and I say learning because it's not something that people do, to create a group energy. And, you know, a group energy is different than one that responds to power. It's one where each person is in their own power and making the decisions out of their free will, without a fear of loss, without a fear of pleasing somebody. And you can't create a group energy by edict. So when we're on this call, we can have the intent to create a group energy, but that doesn't mean it'll happen, because it'll only happen if you, who are listening, of your free will choice, agree to participate in this group energy. Now, there's something even more subtle about a group energy. A group energy is dependent on the part of you that's in other dimensions. And the part of you, not in the physical, but in other dimensions. In the physical, well, you have your emotional energy, your intelligence, your body. You're not dealing with your etheric energy, your astral energy, all the other energies on the other side. And most of us exist more in those dimensions than we do in this one, except we don't know it, because those dimensions are invisible to us. Our physical bodies are designed to only read the energy of the physical universe, so we can't see what's beyond this physical universe, but we can feel it. And we can actually access it through our intentions. When you have a strong intention, and I say this over and over again, and people who are on the call regularly start to know what I mean because they experience it. When you have a strong intention, you penetrate through this veil into the part of yourself that exists in other dimensions. And it's somewhat like driving a car, where you can have this huge engine under the hood, and you can control that engine with this little gas pedal and the steering wheel. Well, somebody has to show you how to control it. And, of course, where to put the key in. Because if you don't know how to control it and you suddenly sit in the car, chances are you're going to have a wreck really fast. Now, the energy, the part of you that's on the other side, is also controlled by cues in the physical, like the steering wheel and the brake. And the cue in the physical is your intention. What do you intend? Most of us have very hard time making intentions because our mind is so busy just dealing with random thoughts that come up, the little voice that keeps commenting on everything, the problems in our life. An intention is more than just saying it. It's an invocation at a very deep level. It's like somebody who's in sports that says, I'm going to win. That's an intention. And that intention, when it's strong enough, will often cause that person to win. Sometimes, in order to have a strong intention, we have to get really angry. And the intention is what moves us out of our anger. If we're trying to make our lives just peaceful and relaxed and comfortable, sometimes, for some of us, there's an anger that's buried under that. And oftentimes spiritual people don't like to feel anger or think there's something wrong with anger or that it's not spiritual. So the anger stays buried. And it acts like a blockade between getting an intention from this side through the veil to the other side, because it hits that anger and it stops right there. So when you can surface your anger and you create an intention with your anger behind it, it actually can create, at least for the first time you're doing it, a huge thrust, like, I have to change my life. I can't be this way anymore. I need to make money. Those things can have anger behind them, and they can also have that strong thrust of intention that actually drives you to the circumstances where you do make a difference, where you do make something change. So I started the conference call, and my intention, when I first started it, of course, the intention keeps modifying itself. My intention was to create an environment where I was having this unusual experience of communication with these sources on the other side. And they were expressing great wisdom to me and guidance, and I learned to experience they had a signature frequency that when they were in my space, I could feel their energy. I could feel them and I could see it. I could see the energy. And I said, you know what? This is a pretty profound experience. And how do you share this with other people? And I would go and give talks, and oftentimes they would be in the room when I gave a talk. And I got the idea that they were tracking me and that they actually wanted very much to be able to project into this realm. And it was very difficult for them to find people that could grasp the way it worked, the way that the realms worked, the way that the other side connects to this side. You know, oftentimes we think of the other side and this side and angels. We think, well, they're separate from us. And in fact, in truth, they're not. In oneness, everything is one, which means as big a unit as you can conceive of on the other side, you're one with, once you can intend that to be so. When you start to becoming one with these sources on the other side, you have expanded your hologram. Your hologram is the parts of you that you could call your matrix. Now, this is, for some people, this is like a whole new language, but let me just go with it and see if you can grasp it. You have this matrix, and the matrix has holes in it. It's got the matrix of your soul energy is to some degree a mirror of your physical energy. And the difference is the soul energy can change drastically, can get bigger, smaller, where the physical is relatively stable. Now, your physical energy may not be stable. Some people have real high energy. They get hyper. Some people get depressed. And those things, I'm sure, all reflect into your soul energy. So you now have this soul that's in the matrix, but this matrix that it's in is as big as the entire universe. And your soul energy can expand and contract. It can expand, theoretically, it can expand to be as big as the universe, and it can be as small, so small that it's contracted deep in your body, and it's almost like there's no life left in you. So we're in this world where we have this energy that we're connected to, and the real gas pedal for this energy is your intention. And so on this call, I say this is a co-creative effort. Yes, I'm doing all the talking, and only because I'm the one that happens to be good at talking. When I'm talking, I hope I'm talking and I'm part of your voice talking through me, coming back to you, because there is oneness. Everyone on the line, to a certain degree at this point, is melding and merging their energies in these other dimensions. And I'm just the voice that's helping to be the catalyst for that, to hold the space and the physical so that can happen around the physical, because it creates a focus in the physical to distract you for a moment so the other stuff can occur, if you want it to. And part of the reason it happens is because it's part of my intention to want that to happen, and it's my intention to want people to gravitate towards this call, who want to have that experience and want to be supportive of this happening in the world in a bigger way. Because as I've come to understand it, this is not a trivial experience. This is a major experience, which is not only healing for yourself, not only healing for the people you know, also healing for the planet. It's an energy that the Earth has been devoid of or struggling with, because so many people are not holographically connected into the greater cosmos through their bodies into the Earth. So even though in the physical everything seems very separate and quantified, on the other dimensions, it's all part of a great cosmic flow. And it's all energy fields melding and blending with other energy fields, but we don't see that. But we can feel it. And that's one of the things that this line is valuable for, because it creates a good reference point of how it feels to blend your energies with others and with what I call group souls on the other side. Now, this is where you're going to have to like go along with me on a slight bit of faith, and evaluate if it's true, because it may not be true for you. Maybe you hear my voice and experience nothing, and that's okay, because that means maybe there's somewhere else you're supposed to go other than this call. But if you're hearing my voice and you're tracking what I'm saying and it makes sense to you, then perhaps you've been guided to be on this call to understand this experience. Now, for myself, I've always had an understanding of energy flows and the way things interact and blending. But I didn't have an understanding as to the intelligences and how they operate on the other side of the veil until the last few years. And that understanding came from, it began when I started writing the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, and I read the channelings of a group soul that identified itself by the name Ra. And this group soul was speaking through David Wilcock, and they were describing themselves as an oversoul for our planet. At one point, they said they're like a giant amoeba spread out through the galaxy and could flow into people's energies if they were asked. And so, as I was writing the book, I would be reading some of the channelings out loud to my friend Terry. And while we were reading them, we noticed this energy come into the room, this light energy. And first, it never occurred to me that that was the energy of the very being whose words we were reading, but it was so consistent, I started to make the connection that this group soul, who described itself as an amoeba that could flow into your space, was actually flowing into our space while we were reading out loud the channelings. Now, some of you who are sensitive to energy noticed as soon as I talked about this group soul that was flowing into your space, there was a shift in the energy. And that some of you might even be noticing this light dancing around you right now. And I hope it's not scaring you. They're very friendly. They don't violate your free will. In fact, they, if you learn to identify this energy and the signature and know that it's this group soul that calls itself Ra, they can be quite available to you and help you change the energy in your space. You just have to ask for them, call inside, and remember this feeling of how it feels when they're in your space, and you'll be there. And that's one of the things that I learned on this conference line, that these group souls were tracking me. And they were looking for someone, hoping to find someone, maybe would be a better way of saying it, who could act as their emissary and explain and bring their energy into the physical and allow other people to experience them. So some of you are having that experience now, and we would suggest that perhaps that experience is the Ra group coming into this realm and surrounding you. And what's quite amazing is here I am in Los Angeles, and we have people all over the United States on this call, and there's such a huge energy that they can come in no matter where you are. So now we have a great template. A template that can bring this energy onto the planet anywhere and heal ourselves, heal our friends. And really, when I use the word heal, it really means give ourselves the opportunity to expand our energy and feel these new energies. And that creates the circumstance for the body to heal itself, to release itself of old traumas, old patterns, old diseases. And here we have a group soul, a they say they are, with billions of individual souls at our beck and call. Now, all we have to do is be worthy. How do you be worthy of this? Well, first of all, you use this energy for planetary service. You use it for the highest good of all concerned. And I suppose you really want to be of service, and by having access to this energy, you have created the circumstances and the opportunity to be of higher service than you would have without access to it. Again, it's intention. You have to really want it, and you have to be worthy, and you have to be dedicated to use it in the highest way possible. And I should say, even if you have all those three things, you must be discerning, because it is possible to attract negative energy when you open up this way. So if anything comes in your space that creates fear, that tries to control you, or that wants to take away your self-determination or your discernment, call in the light and ask it to leave, because it's not coming in from the highest place. So I learned about the rod rope from the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. And as I studied all this, I found huge, huge, huge correlations and parallels between David Wilcock, who was channeling the rod rope, Edgar Cayce, who was channeling the rod rope, allegedly, and Carla Ruckert, who channeled the rod rope from 1981 to 1984. And for those of you that need your minds satisfied that this is real, please read the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, because the book goes in great detail proving the correlations that all these people had the same source: Carla Ruckert, Edgar Cayce, and David Wilcock. And this is, you know, I look at this and I say, this is kind of a new paradigm for this planet. This idea that there's these group oversouls, and they're actually talking right now in present time to people everywhere, not just me, not just David, but people who have never been anyone famous, or that we know that they were anyone famous in a past life, are getting messages. It's a bit like the movie Close Encounters of the Third Kind. And as I was writing the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, I started to have, I didn't realize this when I first started writing the book, but then I started getting emails from people. For example, there was a woman in Santa Barbara who said, "Thank God for your book. I was channeling and getting all these voices and telling my husband, and he thought I was totally crazy. And then he read your book, and he read exactly the same messages as I was getting, and he knew it was real." And so I browsed the Internet, and I'm finding people in Thailand, people in other countries and other cultures are getting messages. And these group souls are connecting with them. And in most cases, it's the same or very similar messages. And, you know, we've been focused on the rod group in this talk. I have to say, there's the other group, which has identified itself to be as the Elohim group. And the Elohim group is different from the rod group. The rod group, as they identify themselves and explain, is made up of graduates of the physical realm, those that have gotten off the wheel of reincarnation, those souls that have spent perhaps thousands of lifetimes in the physical and finally released themselves from the need for physical embodiment. And one of the places for those souls is to join with this group soul called Ra, which is a destination not only for graduates from Earth, but for graduates from all over the solar system and the galaxy and the entire universe. Because there are, as I understand it, thousands and thousands of populated planets, all of them going through their own process of evolution, all of them going through ascension periods, dimensional shift periods, and all of them creating graduates. So this is a model, a template for evolution in our entire universe. And we are in the midst of this dimensional shift. And this is the first time I've used the word dimensional shift. Perhaps before I go into dimensional shift, I'll go back to the Elohim and mention that they are a group soul who is outside of this realm and beams into it. Now, can I understand what that means? No, I can't. I can only see the end result, and that is they talk to me through girlfriends, and there's light energy in the room while they're talking. And I just leave it at that. Those are the end results, and I think the other part of it is probably true, even though I can't see it, and that is they exist as an energy outside of the universe, or our universe, but can beam into it as energy and beam anywhere and cut through all the holograms and arrive as an energy field. So when the Ra group is present, we can feel an energy inside us. We can feel our Kundalini energies open. When the Elohim group is present, we feel the energy outside of our body. We feel it in our space. And, of course, even the Elohim and Ra are one, are blended. They're only the illusion of separation. So they've explained in our group that they're actually, because we have come to understand both of them and how they interact, they have actually been allowed to blend through our group as part of a team to uplift the planet. Now, whatever I talk about, I invoke. And some of you who are really sensitive to energy are doing energetic tumble salts while I describe the Ra group and their energy, not the Ra group, the Elohim, this blending between the Elohim and the Ra group and their energies in this realm. And I think it would be good to take a moment of silence because we've established the presence of their energies. Now, if you happen to be not experience anything, don't feel bad. Sometimes you have to come up with these calls a few times before all your own energies hook in and you can feel what's going on. But we'll take a moment and this is one way you can know that I'm not creating this, that we're creating it, because when we stop talking, when we stop doing anything, the energy doesn't stop. The energy continues. Notice the quality of the silence. It's not the same kind of silence that you might normally be accustomed to. silent, but it's not lonely. I would suggest that right at this moment, you are experiencing the feeling of blending with all the people on the conference line and all the people listening on BBS. And the entry of these group souls from very high dimensions blending with us. And notice the quality of the silence. This is a reference point. If we could live in a perfect world in our lives, we would always be walking in the middle of group energy when we go from one thing to the next. We would be moving from the group energy of our family to the group energy of the highway, to the group energy of our job, to the group energy of the lunchroom, etc., etc. And we would never leave this space. Theoretically, you can learn to hold this space for long periods of time. We are co-creating this space. You who are on this line and you who are on the conference call line are accessing part of you. It's part of divinity. It's part of the creative force in this planet. We're accessing it prior to the physical. Which means we have the ability to change things in the physical. Now, it takes a lot of wisdom to know how to change anything in the physical. So the way we work it is we visualize things and we add the highest good of all concerned. So if, in fact, we're making some kind of mistake, the greater intelligence of the universe will not respond to our request. On the other hand, these group souls, as they've explained it to me, really want to help us. But they don't violate free will. So we have to ask for their help. And, of course, those of you who have been listening to this line for a period of time know that it's my opinion that these group souls that we are communicating with are who mankind has thought of as God throughout our history. And they have made many interventions into this realm in their attempt to help evolve mankind. And they say they can do interventions and stop things on this realm for the highest good of all concerned if they're asked. They say they can stop or limit an earthquake. They say they can disable a nuclear bomb. And apparently, they've done a lot of this in the past, but they can't do it without our requesting it. And the more of us that request it out of pure intent, the more they can do to change these things. Because it's a co-creative effort. It's not about them being nice to us. Those of you who have hooked into this energy and keep coming back on the line and keep reiterating and reinforcing this energy that we've been creating on the line, understand that we're doing this because it's a planetary service, because the planet needs this. We're acting on behalf of all humanity in terms of interfacing with these group souls and anchoring their energy into the physical. And that is a very important function, because what happens is that vibration that you felt in your space is huge. It actually expands for many of you, perhaps miles around you. And you know what? You're changing the energy of the physical planet in your vicinity. There was an experiment done some years ago that when enough people would meditate by the Maharishi method, that crime would drop in a city. And that's the reason why. Because when they would meditate, they would tap into, I don't know if it was this energy, but they would tap into a high enough energy that it had escape velocity and went beyond their own bodies into the space around them. And invariably, there would be a drop in crime after one of those meditations. I believe that was proved statistically. So what we're doing on this conference call is creating that kind of environment, but we're not in the same room. We're scattered all over the planet. So our energies actually are connecting through all the physical spaces that separate us. I believe that's true. I can't prove that, but I think it's true. Which means we are part of anchoring this new paradigm of energy on Earth. And that's a very important thing to be doing right now. Because those of you who have been listening over and over to the work that we've been presenting know that the Earth is at the end of a 75,000-year cycle. And they're describing this energy that the Earth is going through as the strongest that it's ever been in 75,000 years. Now, this energy that we're accessing on this line and that I believe many of you are accessing is an energy that was not so easy to access 10 years ago or 20 years ago. If we did a conference call like this, I'm not sure we could feel it to the extent that we can today. And the reason for that is the energy is just so much higher. Right now, it's possible to generate psychic energy, healing energy, all the energies that have to do with interfacing with the streaming in energy from the other side, far more easier than ever before. But somebody's got to pull it together to set an example. And so there are people. I'm one of them. There's other people. Those people that are on the line regularly are learning that they don't need me. They can anchor this energy quite fine by themselves. And perhaps I was part of the learning curve because I started doing it and they felt it and they experienced it. But anyone who checks on the line regularly with a high intent and wants this to happen will learn how to connect with this energy and integrate it into their life, not just during the conference calls, but during their daily lives. And this is not my energy. I don't own this. This is our energy. It's the universe's energy. It's oneness energy. And it's available to you. And these group souls are available to you. And it's a matter of learning how to invoke their frequencies, how to call on them, and how to have enough intention to make that a reality. It's not that hard. It's up to you. It's a matter of dedication, persistence, vision, and it's important. It's important for you in ways that are not so obvious. One of them being is that the Earth is at the end of this cycle, and what they're describing is that we're going through a division of souls. Those that have learned the lesson on Earth of third chakra, which is power and individuality, and are graduating to the fourth chakra, which is compassion and empathy. And those that have not learned the lesson on Earth and still have to be, are what you could call cycle repeaters, that will have to repeat this realm on another planet in another star system for perhaps hundreds of thousands of years of reincarnation. And the key to graduating is learning how to hold this energy that we are presenting on this line. This energy is the energy of compassion, of empathy, of love. Now, this line is certainly not the only place to feel that. In fact, there's people all over the planet, even in people in conventional religions, that are starting to tap into this energy. So I highly recommend that you find a regular place to feel this energy and incorporate it so it becomes part of your daily experience. Because if the messages are correct that I've been getting, it is this energy and this access of this energy that will be the definitive deciding on one's karmic future. And, of course, once you hold this energy, you can't help but change and influence other people in a positive way, because people are sensitive to it. People are psychically sensitive. You can sit down in a room and you can reconfigure the energy matrix in that room just because you invoke this energy. Now, we have actually been calling in the light, all this for the past 20 minutes, but we end the call with a formal calling in of the light. I would like to ask everyone to go check out my website, the new website I put up, which is theinsidescoop.org. It's the inside scoop from outside this dimension. And on that website, there's a compilation audio of many of the things I've experienced in the past 5 years directly from the source of whoever was involved with me. There are channelings, there's talks from girlfriend X, who was Daphne, who was channeled on this line. There are, as an interview with my sister, there's some of the radio shows I've done, and it's all stuck together in a half-hour audio. And one of the great values of this is that there's a number of people supporting the reality that this actually happened and this is real, the circumstances of my life. Second of all, it's an extremely valuable tool, and this remains to be seen, but this is my idea, that I would find that people who would become associated with our line, and they tried to share it with somebody, and they would tell somebody about it, and it sounded like it was crazy, or that we were crazy, or that this couldn't happen. So instead of trying to verbally share this with anybody, you can just ask them to listen to the audio and draw their own conclusions. So you're free to make CD copies of them, if you know how to do that, and just pass them out and let people listen to it. It's called the Inside Scoop from Outside This Dimension. And again, the website is The Inside Scoop, no spaces or hyphens, theinsidescoop.org. So we're going to conclude tonight with a calling in of the light, and we probably have a minute to get a couple of the people on the phone line. And I remind you that this call is happening simultaneously with a group of perhaps 20 people who are on a conference line. And those 20 people are extremely important for this experience because they are helping to anchor and ground this energy so that those people who are out in the ozone all over the world and BBS can feel it and experience it. And these people, most of them, have come into the line repetitively for months and months because they sensed what was going on and made a commitment to support it. And there's plenty of room for more of you if you want to volunteer in some way to put this energy out and to help uplift the planet within this particular group. There's endless opportunities to do that. And of course, there are many other opportunities, there's many other groups, but this particular group does things in its way, and if you resonate, you can either resonate as a taking it in, or if you're one of those people that has learned to hold the energy for others, there's the opportunity just because you're here to do that. So it's 7:22. I'm going to call in the light, and this is the formal invocation of what we've already been doing. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person on this line, and that any negativity be taken to the higher realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We ask for the presence of those interdimensional sources, service to others, operating in the Christed light, who we have identified as Ra group and the Elohim group, and any angels, any other positive energies, sources, service to others that would like to join with us in this moment. And we see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the Hunab Ku. We join our energies with each other, with the groups, and we now surround our planet with this light, ball of light energy that we've created. And on that note, 7:23, before we click off from BBS, I'd like to give any of you who would like to be on this line, we do it 7 days a week. Different people moderate. And if you go to the webpage, higher-vision.org, you'll see a place where it says email. Please send me the schedule and the access number. If you happen to be listening on BBS and you'd like the access number, then that's the way to get it. Or else email Suzanne@higher-vision.org for the access number. Because what we do is we allow people to put things into the light. And I'm going to open up the line for a second.
All callers are unmuted.
Dean, do you have something to put into the light this evening?
Yes, thank you so much. I was muted. I'd like to put in Jane, Frank, Marsha, Louise, Joe, and everyone at the Healing Clinic. Thank you.
Thank you. Be in North Carolina. And you can say your name slowly and focus the energy on each person as you do it.
You're doing 37525?
Please say those
questions. I don't know what you're saying. Yeah,
I'm going to get the pound twice real quick. It'll bypass it.
Last time,
hit the pound sign twice.
50 minutes.
I know. Come sit here then, listen to this.
I hear Ron in the background. Ron, you're already on. Yes.
Win?
If you hit the pound sign twice after putting in the code, you'll get in quicker.
Okay.
Win?
Yeah, yes.
Hello. Win, it's Bruce Travis in Maui.
Hi, Bruce. Would you like to put something in the light tonight?
Yeah, myself.
Okay.